Hi, we are Angie and Annalie, and this is Brain Basement, a podcast where two friends who used to do yoga together in a basement now chat about chaos and wellness. As moms, we understand chaos. As expats, we get what that chaos looks like when you take it overseas.
From Manila to San Jose, we share stories of living abroad and explore topics around mental and emotional well-being. This podcast is for expat moms who want to find wellness amidst the chaos of everyday life. Welcome to Brain Basement. We're so glad you're here. Hi, everyone. This morning, or whatever time it is for you, we will go ahead and start our Brain Basement discussion, our deep dive into the basement of our brain, see what we're thinking, and we'll start out with three deep breaths. So wherever you are at this point, allowing yourself to just kind of feel some relaxation washing over you, feeling your back release, maybe closing your eyes, softening your face as you deeply inhale, filling up your lungs, expanding, filling your belly, and fully exhaling as you allow that release to spread through your limbs, really emptying your belly to create that space for the next inhale. Breathing in, filling up fresh air. And when you're ready, exhale. Allow the muscles in your face to soften a little bit, relaxing your jaw, softening your forehead. And continue your breath, allowing your body to find its own rhythm. See if you can maybe feel the sensation in your hands right now, or your heart beating in your chest. And then slowly allowing yourself to open your eyes, to settle into that regular rhythm of your breath, that continued flow that happens every day while we do all of our activities, recognizing and honoring with gratitude how that happens without us thinking about it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So peaceful. So good. Every time. So today, speaking of gratitude, it's kind of the season of gratitude. I thought it might be fun, Angie, to invite some guests on the show periodically. And since we're such emotion geeks, I was wanting to call these guests guest emotion. And sorry, I have a frog in my throat. Too early for me. So today I thought guest emotion could be gratitude. Invite gratitude onto the show and ask some questions and kind of explore this emotion of gratitude a little bit more.
That's awesome. I'm so grateful that gratitude is here to to meet with us, that gratitude is joining us this morning.
Yeah, it's you and me in gratitude. And I guess we can also call gratitude thankful, grateful. Yeah. So
appreciation.
Appreciation, yeah.
Those are the nicknames for gratitude. I love this idea of personifying emotions.
I know, I kind of feel like we need to assign a gender, because I want to say he or she.
Obviously, she's female. I'm picturing gratitude as a woman, right?
Okay. In a
big, giant, flowy dress.
Actually, yes. And I'm seeing some orange and pink on her dress, mm-hmm. just for whatever reason. But yeah, let's go with that.
Okay.
She's female. So I guess my first question for gratitude is, what is she? How would you define gratitude?
I was thinking about this, and I was thinking I feel the most joyful when I'm full of gratitude. But I think I am, and maybe many of us are always seeking joy. I'm always kind of chasing happiness or joy, like that's the feeling I want to feel, but it's not necessarily joy that brings me the most joy. I think it is gratitude is when I feel soaked in gratitude and I'm just having a moment for whatever reason that things are going well and I just feel really appreciative for where I am or how the day went, or those are the moments when I just feel full of happiness. And then I was thinking of like Disney World or a roller coaster or something. It's like fun and that makes me happy and I'm laughing, but it's not the moment that I'm filled with gratitude. Gratitude feels really powerful. I would say she's powerful and life-changing and maybe, I don't know, like that I want to say the strongest emotion, but is that true? Of course, I don't know. What do you think? Who is gratitude?
Yeah, that was actually really beautiful. I love those thoughts and how they relate to joy and differ from, yeah, when you're experiencing just joy alone.
Can we even experience joy without gratitude? Could you ever just, I feel like every moment that I think of, like, when was I really happy, or it was a lot of gratitude.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I've thought about it in this way, but it's resonating with me. And while you were talking, I was kind of thinking, I was picturing gratitude as almost the vehicle to joy.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I'm practicing gratitude, then on the other side, there's other emotions waiting for me.
Right.
Like joy. And I was kind of thinking of this too. What are some of gratitude's like close relatives,
uh-huh.
or cousins?
Partners.
And I did write joy down. Peace, contentment,
mm-hmm.
really rings true. Even wonder kind of puts me in a position of like, I'm in awe,
yeah.
of something, and also stillness. So I think for me too, it's very much a feeling of joy and happiness. But like you said, it's not that thrilling. Well, I guess it could be thrilling, but it's more still.
Mm-hmm.
Like a contentment to me kind of feels like a stillness. But what do I think it is? I guess that would be what comes to mind first. I mean, I did look up the definition in the dictionary and I kind of like ours more, but it just said pleasing, you know, you feel pleased about what someone did or some certain result,
mm-hmm.
or feeling a sense of thankfulness towards the world or specific individuals.
Yeah. How can you feel thankfulness towards the world without peace, love, joy, you know? I think that's interesting that you said stillness, because I wouldn't have connected that. I think of joy as jumping and like excitement and movement more than stillness. And then, but gratitude, I can definitely see as stillness. It seems like long lasting. If gratitude was someone here with us, she's more solid and steady, and then joy is more like fleeting and comes in and out, maybe.
Yeah, I really like that. That feels good to me too. Mm-hmm. And one thought that came to mind that has to do with that is I was kind of thinking of the question, how might this emotion serve me? So how might gratitude, what will it do for me in my life? And I feel like because it brings that stillness with it, it's very grounding. And with other emotions, there's kind of a hustle behind them. And so I actually feel like I slow down when I am experiencing gratitude. And I was also thinking another thing that gratitude does is it helps me to feel like I'm enough and that I have enough. And so because I have enough and I am enough, then I don't feel that hustle to either be more or get more of something. And so I agree with you. I feel like it is that sense of just being content and at peace right now, very grounded with whatever is present. And that, I mean, that's a huge, just speaking of this question, how might this gratitude serve me? Like that's, I want to be there more, you know, in that space, because yeah. I don't enjoy the hustle necessarily.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. That's kind of brilliant, the hustle behind it, because there is like need associated with so many other feelings, the emotions that are there. When you're in anger, you feel this need to get out of anger or to react in some way, or to, you know, get your anger out. And or there's a need with even feeling happy. I think you feel like I need to hold on to this. And gratitude is like released from all of that. It's just feeling so happy for this moment. And, you know, there's no need. There's nothing else there that you're thinking, I want this, or I want more, or I want. There's no I want.
Yeah, everything is satisfied.
And the law of attraction theory and all these kinds of ideas, the idea of feeling gratitude, if you can start focusing on gratitude a little bit and just say like, what are three things I'm grateful for in this moment? Or even what we did with the breath, I'm glad, you know, that my heart is pumping and I'm inhaling and exhaling. Just focusing on a little bit of appreciation brings more of that into your scope, right? Because your mind is looking for that. Now you'll be able to see other things that you appreciate, and you're just building appreciation, like it grows and grows. So I think that is true for me. When I'm in a place of gratitude, I can find that. But I definitely, of course, feel ungrateful all the time and critical.
I think that's the norm, or it is for me too. Mm-hmm. In fact, being in a moment of complete gratitude, I'd say is not extremely rare, but it's not like it even happens every day. Mm-hmm. Where I'm just completely satisfied with all things.
Yeah, that does not happen to me daily. I did have one of those moments this week. It was our wedding anniversary, and it's coronavirus, and Bill set up like our back porch with our junky table and cobbled together chairs that we have at the moment. And he picked up food from a restaurant, and we were just talking about our life, and you know, our whole, it's like a career together, right? Like our whole marriage. And I did just feel soaked in gratitude for like that evening and that next morning when I woke up. And then I wonder, why can't I hold on to, why do I not feel it 3 days later? I don't wake up soaked in gratitude a couple days after that. So, but it is such a great feeling when you have that, when there's just no desire for the next thing. It just feels like this is where I want to be. This is where I'm happy. This is who I am. It just feels like total appreciation in every fiber of your being. And I think those moments are just so astounding. We should all pay attention to find more of them.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting, maybe the very nature of it being something that we don't feel often makes it that much more special. Mm-hmm. And I think we've talked about this on another episode, just the idea of opposition in all things. So if we always felt, you know, like you felt that night and the next morning, would it carry that same wonder and just beauty? Or the fact that we plunge back into normal life, you know, that opposition between the two makes gratitude for me that much better.
Yeah.
Those are things of gratitude.
Right. There's nothing amazing about feeling the same way every day.
Yeah.
What about seeing gratitude for other people? This was a question I had, because I think of course, for our kids, we always think, why aren't you grateful? Don't you see how much you have, you know? But also for other people in their lives, or we have a family member, and I just think, like, how can you have such a great life as a family member who's really unhappy and just kind of miserable every time you talk with him? And you think, like, that you have your health, you have your family nearby, you have your life partner, you have a lovely weekend house. I mean, they just have so much on the outside. And I've found myself doing that a lot. If I think back through my life, that I can see gratitude for other people. How can you not be grateful? And it's not a very gracious way of being, judging them for not being grateful. And I'm sure there are so many times when people see that for me when I'm complaining about something. Do you do that? Do you think that? Do people do that?
Do people say the question again?
Like, do you see gratitude for other people and think they should be grateful?
Oh, for sure. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is my kids, obviously.
Yeah.
I feel like we come up against that every time we eat food. Like, I hand them mac and cheese, and even though I know they love mac and cheese, something has to be wrong with it.
Yes.
And of course, I then hear myself saying something that my parents told me, like, be grateful for what you have. There are other children in the world starving, you know. Yes. These phrases that I never thought I would say as a parent, but here I am saying them. But that's certainly hard, right? To be outside of someone wanting them to be more grateful. It doesn't work very well.
Right. And it feels so automatic that we, and the opposite of gratitude, that we're feeling ungrateful for their ungratefulness.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a good method, but how could you foster, I guess, a sense of gratitude? I was going to say teach, but even teach feels like that would be hard to, especially an adult, you know, if you're trying to teach another grown adult actually need to experience gratitude more often. But fostering more, trying to think what I do with my kids. I guess my brain naturally goes there.
Yeah, teaching gratitude is hard because here it is. She is this amazing presence of appreciation. I suppose kids have that when they're 2 and 3 years old, right? Do they just run around assuming that they're having fun and everything is going well? You know, in any circumstance, kids are happy most of the time. And then they have their moment where they cry and scream and let it all out. You know, they didn't get the toy. And then they're just back into appreciation. I wonder what it would be like to look in the brain of a 3-year-old or 4-year-old, or when we kind of shift into like, this mac and cheese isn't perfect.
Totally. Well, and I guess I see, when I think about my kids that are really young, the way I see gratitude showing up in them is in that wonder for the world, small things, like staring at an ant for 5 minutes and just the wonder of it all. And, you know, I've never heard them say, "I'm so thankful for this ant," but really what I get from them is, yeah, they're thankful for this moment and enjoying like the wonder of something. But there definitely is a shift as they get older. And I guess that idea of not being satisfied by something is introduced at some point. Mm-hmm. And that's tricky. To work with.
Yeah, I don't know how we get, and I guess teenagers are notoriously stereotyped for being selfish, and I don't believe that's true for every teenager, but certainly for myself, I'm much more appreciative now than I was when I was a teenager. I was certainly focused on what I didn't have or wasn't getting to do when I was a teenager.
Yeah. There's got to be something in the brain there. You know, I mean, that's just my...
Yes, right? Like, have you researched that? Because your brain is changing so much through your teenage years and your, like, receptors are wide open, right? But you're... What is happening with the neuro pathways that is, and the hormones affecting it? I wonder if that.
Yeah. I keep thinking of FOMO and how, like, the evolution of FOMO over the course of someone's life, fear of missing out. Because with the teen years, it does feel like that hustle is engaged. The hustle to be something that you're not, or to, yeah, it's just natural to look at the things that you don't have, mm-hmm. or come from that place of lack, or that I'm missing out on something.
Right. And, or maybe that comes with comparison.
Yeah. And not all, you know, teenagers are like that, but I definitely, yeah, have experienced that. And, but then fast forward to, I don't know, later in life, and generally speaking, I'd say FOMO kind of decreases, right? And at least I see that in my parents. I mean, I don't even relate FOMO to them. It's just, they feel, I get the sense from them that they're not in a hustle, not in a hurry to acquire much else, just kind of at a point in life where they're, it's, the perspective is different. Mm-hmm. And so whether or not there's something happening in the brain, it makes sense that there would be, and I don't have specific study or research in mind right now, but that there's a shift in perspective and what you notice, you know, depending on your age.
Yes. I think that's definitely true. And I think there's like, there are those stages of life. Now I can't even, is it Maslow? Where in later life you're looking back on what you have done and contributed. And so it lines up with that famous psychology theory that there are these, believe it's four stages of life. I'm gonna have to look it up now. That's been so long since I've studied. That was probably in college. I can't believe I don't remember all of those. That at some point you're examining what you have contributed rather than what has been given to you. But I do think there's something so peaceful. That's the point we're all seeking, right? That we have done enough. I am enough, like you said at the beginning. I have enough. All of the enoughness is there to feel appreciation. And instead of FOMO, for me, it's like gone the opposite. You and I have talked about this in foreign service life, right? It's like when I'm home at night with my kids and like maybe I'm doing a puzzle and just like eating pasta by myself on the couch while the kids are off with friends. If there's a ball on that evening or, you know, and I saw everyone else's messages about borrowing shoes and get, you know, which earrings should I wear? I just feel so content to not be at the ball. It's like, it's the opposite of FOMO. I just appreciate not having to be at another maybe work type event that is related to embassy life that I maybe didn't want to go to.
Yes, I can totally relate. And then you don't experience a secondary emotion of like guilt or, you know, I think of myself so many times, yeah, choosing the Netflix night on the couch mm-hmm. over whatever else. And it feels best when I just lean into that, how much I love it with no accompanying emotions after that, just yeah. really sitting in that spot of appreciation, just doing the exact thing I'm wanting to do.
It's the JOMO. That's the joy of missing out, right? That's what other people.
Is that a thing? And
yeah,
I don't.
That's know a thing.
Okay, I did not even know.
Yeah.
JOMO.
You have to embrace it. You're just.
Oh, man. You're JOMO.
Thrilled to miss out.
That's my new favorite.
Which is probably not most teenagers, I guess.
Yeah.
That should be the new, that's the updated version of those. Is it Maslow's theory? I'm going to look it up. But yeah. You move from fear of missing out, from FOMO to JOMO as you age.
I love that. We're going to make our own theory with nicknames.
It's Maslow's five levels of hierarchy of needs.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So right, at first it's just physiological needs. Oh wait, no, this is different. Safety needs, love and being is third. But you can't even be thinking about your love and being if you don't have your basic needs of like heat, warmth, and food. Survival needs are first. And then the fourth is esteem, and fifth is self-actualization. But oh, that is it, because the fifth one, you can look back and feel like you have fulfilled your potential.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just reaching that point.
Yeah. So one of the questions I had that kind of goes along with that discussion was, what are some barriers that keep us from feeling appreciation? And this is interesting in the context of the lifespan of a human being, you know, that these barriers would change. But you brought up comparison, and that was one that I wrote down. And I remember the quote that came to mind was, comparison is the thief of joy. Mm-hmm. And that really, that's like a hamster wheel when you jump on that comparison train, because it won't, it, for me, it feels like it doesn't stop until I just get myself off. Mm-hmm. I really, there's no end in sight with comparison, because I will never have enough or be enough as long as I'm in that comparison mindset, mind frame. And but can you think of any others? Like, what are other barriers to?
I mean, all fear, definitely. I think holds gratitude at bay. You can't let gratitude come in when there's fear. I guess there could be, in a way. I'm thinking of people with those amazing, incredible stories of finding gratitude through so much hardship, and people who, you know, have been in a terrible car crash and, or, you know, are paralyzed, and just you hear their story or you hear them speak or a TED talk, and they are so impassioned with gratitude for the life that they are living, that for things that have happened in their life and where it has gotten them. And I think you could have fear mixed in there and still feel grateful for what's happening now. But maybe if fear takes over, you just, there's no room for appreciation. Like, we could also have a great and lovely life and, you know, have our physiological needs all taken care of. And just, I also know people that are just stuck in fear, despite having everything in place, that they're just thinking about the next thing that's going to happen that might be bad.
Yeah.
Which robs them of feeling that gratitude.
Yeah, I see that.
I was thinking, are there any people who don't feel gratitude? Is it possible to feel like a sense of accomplishment or joy without gratitude? Like, does anyone ever think, I earned this, it's mine, I'm glad? Or so, does glad mean gratitude? You know, do they just feel like that sense of, yes, I did it, without feeling like, I'm so grateful I was able to do this, or I'm grateful things happened? Because I think with my accomplishments or great moments, I'm just feeling gratitude. Thank goodness this happened this way. I'm so glad that, you know, the universe or God or my family or the steps that I've taken have gotten me to this point. At some level, I'm thinking, wow, that was kind of lucky, or I'm thinking that it wasn't just me deliberately getting there and that it all happened because I did everything exactly right.
Yeah, that's what came to mind, is it's the difference between, or it's who you're giving credit to, mm-hmm. right, is what comes to mind. If you're kind of, the lens that you look through with your accomplishments is always, well, there I go again, like, I'm so freaking awesome because I just accomplished this again, and it was all me, it was all on me,
right? Like, do you know anyone who thinks that? We're just like, it's, I'm glad my parents set me up to be able to do this, and I'm glad my, you know, this weird thing happened that our flight got canceled so that I was able to have this night in the hotel. It's like weird things that we're like, oh, that turned out great.
Yeah. I mean, I can't think of anyone specific that comes to mind, because I see it being pretty rare. I mean, you'd have to be really not able to think about anyone else's contribution to your life.
Right.
I'm sure someone could definitely get to that space.
Yeah, I am thinking of kind of a political celebrity that might feel that, but it would have to be the rare person who believed I did this and got us here without any.
Okay, so it does exist. Yeah, you just made that case. I'm like, oh yeah.
Sure. Yeah,
that's possible.
That's an outside perspective. Who knows what's happening in the brain there? I would be interested to know what happens in the brain. Like, you know how when we're looking at the brain scans and you can see different emotions happening in different parts of the brain, like, where is that? What does gratitude do, and where is it like activated? And then what kind of, you know, like serotonin does that release?
I was reading that it does, and just briefly I was reading the effects of gratitude on the body, and it was talking about those happy positive hormones being released and the effect that it has on our bodies, you know, relieving stress and
like, how does it compare? Like the dopamine hit, I wonder if it's like a slow, steady release of dopamine, like we were describing, instead of like that sudden, like surprise, like having fun, laughing blast of dopamine that maybe goes away quickly. I don't know. It's interesting that we can picture it and describe it all. And then I wonder if that would line up with the scientific research on how our brains react to feeling gratitude.
Yeah. Well, speaking of like the physiological aspect of this, I was curious, when you're feeling gratitude, where do you feel it in your body? Like, where does it show up?
I think it is my chest. I would have to think about that. I thought of the word soaked, like I feel soaked in gratitude. It felt like I was covered in gratitude just when I talked about from that like happy anniversary evening we had. So I kind of then felt it everywhere, like permeated in gratitude, but probably it is the center of my chest is where it starts, or where I hold it. Where do you feel gratitude? How do you feel physically your gratitude? Stillness too, like you said, stillness. Sorry, now I'm done.
Oh no, I think mine's similar. When I was thinking about it, that's what came to mind was, I think it does start in my chest. And even my heart, I was like, is it as specific as like the organ, my heart? And I really do feel like I feel it there. It also comes up in my face. I was thinking, like, when I feel appreciation, I feel it in my cheeks and even in my mouth. And I don't know if that's because I associate it with smiling, but it's not even that. It's just, I kind of have a sensation in my face of like lightness, like it's a lighter feeling and not like a heavy.
Oh, that's such a good description. Yeah. Also, I love the scientific research that shows how when you smile, you know, it does affect your physiology or that one study where you stand with your arms out up wide, or Tony Robbins does a thing where you like use the goofiest voice possible and you stand up as tall as possible and puff out your chest and like say something like really silly and you have the biggest smile on your face, but you try to feel unhappy in that moment. It's like really hard to just feel disappointment when you're standing up with your chest puffed out and a goofy face talking in a silly voice, you know, and you're like, let's see if I could feel unhappy doing all of this. Or you like walk in a room and say something goofy to your kids and then see if you can feel unhappy in like a silly voice.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting to think, yeah, what your overall countenance does when you're experiencing a certain emotion. Yeah. Because as I think about it, like gratitude actually does, like you said, feel like it can envelop me, like my whole body. And what is my body generally going to do when I feel that way? And I definitely think I would sit differently, walk differently, stand differently, with that feeling of appreciation versus anxiety, for example. Mm-hmm. You know, it just changes your, so fascinating, actually.
It is, and how it can work in reverse, that you could feel unhappy, but deliberately pull your shoulders back and just decide, I'm gonna hold my head up high and walk around like this. Uh-huh. And that it your body wiring knows enough to know that it's starting to send the signals to your brain, like, I'm feeling good, because that positioning is so connected with that emotion. I mean, I think it's fun to just do those little experiments and try to walk around for as often as you can, think about it today, and like pull your shoulders back and like sit up straight and see what happens. Those things are always fun to me.
Well, it's kind of like yoga, right? Like I might go to a yoga class feeling really crummy, and it's not like I'm doing any, you know, thought work or mental shift right before class, and then I'm feeling this quick sense of appreciation, and then I have an awesome class. Mm-hmm. It's like over the course of doing the yoga movements, yeah, my body is telling my brain how to think, almost.
Right.
And then by the end of the class, I actually do walk away with appreciation. But I don't know if there was a ton going on in my head. It really was like, my body was going through the motions. So I like that it can go both ways, which makes me think too, what I actually asked my husband this as I was thinking about gratitude, is what, because, you know, we know that our emotions do come from our thoughts. What kind of thought would you have in order to generate gratitude or appreciation? If you were just kind of thinking, I do kind of want to do a shift here. It was a hard question to answer, and I'm still searching for it.
I mean, when you were talking about the yoga sequence, I think, like, because your body is telling your brain, like, I am strong. I am breathing. Like, I can close my eyes and feel the sun on my face. Like, those are all the signals that you're getting, right? Is like, I'm strong enough to do this, or like, I can feel my calves lengthening, or, you know, I can feel my arms open wide and stretching my chest open. It just, those messages are happening whether we're not, even though we're not deliberately thinking them. And just that focus on the breath, that kind of stuff, I think, is happening automatically. Those are like those thoughts we're not noticing. So if you could think like, I am strong, or, you know, I am appreciative. What if we even just thought that, and then you looked for things you were appreciative of? Like, I love this coffee mug from the 1980s that I found at the thrift store. Like, just the little things that we have in our day. I love that my kid is wearing like mismatched PJs and running around with a goofy hat on their head.
Yeah. I remember one time I was asking you on the podcast what meditation does for you. And one of your answers was that it really builds a sense of appreciation within yourself. And that, I don't know if it's that moment of stillness that fosters that in you, but I loved that response, and it kind of got me thinking of one thing that happens when I've meditated with guided meditations when specifically the guide has said, listen for the sounds around you and kind of just acknowledge them. And I've realized that that's a really important part of meditation for me. If I don't acknowledge the sounds around me at the very beginning, then when certain sounds happen, it really bothers me.
Yeah.
It comes in as kind of an interruption, like, how dare you? You know, like,
right.
In this moment of stillness, like if I hear my kids in the background or like a loud truck go by backing up and the loud beeping sound. But if I do take that moment to say, life is happening around me and I'm just having a moment of stillness in the middle of it all, then when those sounds come, I've noticed that my brain actually feels gratitude for those sounds even while I'm in that moment. And I've noticed hearing my kids in the back thinking, I'm so grateful that I have kids and that I can hear them playing in the background. And that's just been fascinating to me. Like, what a little shift. And why would that be so important to have during meditation to make it good for me?
That's a perfect example of the exact same circumstance, right? Like, the kids are making noise in the next room and our automatic brain goes to like, that's so annoying. Why can't I have a minute of peace? Which makes sense to me. I've had that feeling a million times in life. And then just the thinking, what are the sounds around me while I'm experiencing peace, changes everything. Then you're glad they're there. You don't even want them out of the house. You're like, it's so much better that I can feel this here. And I have goofy kiddos in the next room living their life, you know. It's like, even they can be fighting or yelling and you can think like, haha, like they have siblings and, you know, they're just silly and this is how their life is. It's, you can somehow feel grateful. So that can be our little idea for the day. Let's see if we can keep gratitude going.
Yeah.
The gratitude. Since we woke up this morning and did this, I feel grateful that we got to talk, that we interviewed. Thank you. Thank you, gratitude, for coming in to have a discussion and let us analyze you and your pink and orange outfits.
I know. I really appreciate her being here. And I love that we felt that she was really here in her all her glory. She's wearing a beautiful dress, by the way. In my head, I have a gorgeous.
I know. I'm picturing something like, did you see the movie A Wrinkle in Time? The new version that had like Reese Witherspoon and Oprah and Mindy Kaling.
Yes, but.
They had those amazing, incredible outfits. That's what I'm picturing.
It's just so true. I need to go back and Google their outfits now because I remember thinking that they were. Yeah, I was wowed by them in the moment. Oh,
A Wrinkle in Time, we could have a whole mindfulness discussion on that. That could be a mindfulness for kids, teachable moment, reading A Wrinkle in Time and talking about that. Okay, we should, but that will be for another podcast.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks.
To say thanks is my last word.
Yes. Go forth with gratitude, everyone. Thanks for listening. We will see you next week.